Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. And this is a scripture from one of our daily readings in our 40-day journal. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, it says, "Let us draw near." You can stand for the reading. It says, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience," from an evil conscience, "and our bodies washed with pure water." I'm sorry, it's verse 22 and 23. Verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Thank you, Father. You can be seated. Thank you, God, for your word. You see, certain phrases in this passage here, verse 22 and 23, certain phrases here don't just happen automatically. This doesn't happen because you say you're a Christian, that you kind of just gravitate to God. It doesn't happen automatically. That's why it says here, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance." You see, what's needed is our input, an active relationship, an active daily service to God. This is what brings to pass. Of course, with God, all of this is possible. Because of Jesus, all of this is possible. That we're able to draw near to God, and how this is done actively, not passively. It just doesn't happen like every Tuesday in our neighborhood, we have to drag that garbage can over to the edge of the road so that every Tuesday the city comes by and picks it up. It just doesn't happen to where we have some wonderful, awesome city workers where they come to where we drop off or to where we have our garbage can and they roll it out and our garbage gets picked up every week. I mean, I'm not sure how many of you would love for that kind of service, but they'll probably charge you more, but that doesn't happen. You play a part in having your trash get picked up. Now, that might be weird that I'm using that acronym, but we actually think that our trash, that God cleans it up without us actively repenting, without us actively shunning or turning away from our old selves or from sin. There are people that think that God will handle with our trash when we don't have to do anything. He'll do it. That is far from the truth, because God doesn't force himself upon you. The Holy Spirit did not, as far as I know, grab you by the back of your neck and drag you all the way to church. The Holy Spirit didn't do that. Now, if someone did that, we might need to, you know, have a talk to that person. But, you know, it might be some good training, but really, the Holy Spirit doesn't do that, does he? Anybody experienced that? Now, there might have been a conviction where you couldn't have any peace deciding on, "I'm going to stay home tonight," or "this morning, I'm going to stay in bed." And you didn't have any peace because the Holy Spirit was going psycho on your heart. Get up, get up, get up. Time to go. This is a privilege. This is an opportunity. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves, one with other believers. Go to church. Get up, go to church. There might have been that conviction for some this morning. But drawing near to God is done actively on our part. Thankfully to God, because he made it possible. But it's not done passively. Having a full assurance requires us to place our faith in God. So that's why it was really neat how Janine kind of just felt led by the Spirit to encourage you that if there's any dark spaces, dark places in your mind, or some real difficult situations in your life, calling out the name of Jesus, because there's no other name to call on. Calling out the name of Jesus over that area, over that hurt, over that pain, over that darkness, over that fear, over that terror that goes on in your mind. Again, I don't know who that is, but you have not had an ounce of sweet, restful peace in days. Can I encourage you? Call out to Jesus. But when you call out to Jesus, it's because you're no longer going to allow what is keeping you uneasy or not at peace to rule your mind, to rule your heart, and you're calling on Jesus. Having that full assurance requires us to place our faith in God and in his word. First slide. This is from Psalm 145, verse 14. The Lord upholds all who fall. Anybody ever fall before? Okay, you've fallen, right? Okay, you've fallen, and I'm glad that you were able to get up. But the Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. All who bow down, not forcefully, but who bow down because they choose to give reverence to God, because there's no one like God. There's no one like it was given tonight. No one can fill your cup. Look, I don't know what your cup is today, whether it's a cup of being accepted, the cup of being loved, the cup of being cherished, the cup of being wanted, but nobody can fill your cup. My wife cannot fill any of those cups like God can. That's why I don't live for my wife. I live for God. So in any relationship, let me just change this, not relationships, but your career. I mean, reaching up to the top, you can reach up to the top and still be empty because you've gotten to the top without God. So whatever your cup is, no one can fill it like God can. So God and his word holds me. The title of my message, it kind of seems weird to me, but God's word holds me. Right away, I start thinking of those lovey-dovey movies, you know, chick flick movies or whatever. Hold me, you know. But God holds me. He holds me because I choose to stand on what he has said. I choose to believe and have full assurance in what he has done, what he has done for me, what he has done in me and for me. I choose to stand on that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, and this talks about the armor of God in becoming a prayer warrior. Let me say this also. Being a prayer warrior just doesn't happen because you're faithful in tithes. Being a prayer warrior just doesn't happen because you carry a Bible and you have your name etched on your Bible. Ooh, now you're a prayer warrior. No. It requires you to make time. Make time to pray. Make time to seek and have a communion, have conversations with God, commune with God all the time. Like Shannon was mentioned this morning. I mean, when you're driving, when you're going to work, whatever you're doing, that you are actually talking to God. You have those conversations with him. So Ephesians 6:13 says this, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Anybody ever have evil days? I mean, the enemy, he just starts off. You don't have to walk out of your front door and he's already, you know, pew, pew, pew. He's just throwing. I'm not sure why I use pew, pew. But whatever he's shooting at you, whatever he's throwing in your direction. And so the word tells us here that the armor of God says take up the whole armor. So you got to pick that up. It just doesn't happen. I do not know of anybody that has a pair of shoes that just automatically just scurry over and just go on your feet. You got to pick them up, put them on, lace them up, and tie them maybe. But it says here to take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. That word withstand means to resist opposition. Resist opposition. Anything that is up against you, that you are ready and you're set against any opposition. Also, it means to have this desire or thought of not giving up, of not leaving the fight. So God says, take up the whole armor of God because there's a fight. But when you take up the whole armor of God so that you'll be able to withstand, not give up, not walk away, not leave from the fight, not allow the opposition to win. And God says that this armor is what we need for fighting. Listen, you ever think about the fact that this armor that God gives us, he doesn't give us this armor because he knows we're going to lose. Somehow in my mind, I'm looking at the God is telling me to pick up this armor, take it, pick it up, because it will cause me to win every battle. It's those moments when I put that down, that's when I lose the battle. It's the moments when I don't look to his word because I think, well, Rick knows the answer. Rick can handle this. That's the moment that I begin to fail or to fall in that fight. But when I choose to take up his armor and carry it and take it with me, Man, I'm able to withstand. I'm able to stand against whatever is coming against me. I will not leave the fight and I will not give up. Stand fast comes to mind. Now, the term stand fast that I've known is a military term. That means wait. We were told to muster or to gather at 6:30. Nothing really would happen till like maybe 7:30, and they would just say stand fast. Means don't go nowhere. You just wait here. You just don't go anywhere. You don't give up. You don't go back to your room. You don't go back to your barracks. And it's a military term to mean wait, stay put, don't go anywhere. And so we find here that in Hebrews chapter 10, it says in verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Don't go. Don't give it up. Wait. Stand with that faith that you have. Have in who? Have in God. There's no physical way to sprinkle our hearts from evil. There's no sprinkle thing. There's no fairy dust. God takes care of that. There is no water in any baptismal anywhere in the world that has pure water that will wash you like God can wash you, that God can wash you pure. God does and takes care of that. What we have to do is our part, and that part is to draw near to Him with true heart, with a true heart and full assurance of faith in His word. It doesn't happen automatically. So you know what we need to do? We need to, number one, stand fast. Number two, don't go nowhere, because God remains faithful. And we can't not make God stop being faithful. We can't make God be more faithful. With God, He is faithful. He can't get any more faithful because He's a perfect God. So God can't get more perfect than what He already is. So instead of choosing to stand on what the world says, I'm going to hold fast to the confession of my hope in Him, that I will choose to stand and believe in the God that this word speaks of and in what He has said. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any one of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Verse 6, here's the important part. You can ask God all day long, God, give me wisdom. God, give me direction. God, your word says that you will order my steps. And so, Father, I'm wanting you to order my steps. But we got to look at number 6 here. And it says here, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, without wavering. I think the New King James Version has, without wavering. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Anyone ever been in a boat where the waves were really high? It was really rough seas. Probably turned little different colors. You probably, you know, did something else after that. But here, I am given, I hope you're given this great picture. God doesn't want us to waver like the waves of a sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7 says, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. You see what happens when we waver? When we get to a point where we are not disciplining ourselves to trust and stand fast. That when we've done all, that we continue to stand on what? On what God's word says. When we begin to waver, it says here in verse 7, don't even think that you're going to receive anything from the Lord. That's hard. It's hard, but if you determine every day to look to His word, to stand on His word, and to have confidence in that and to stand fast in that, man, you will get to the point where you will not have to worry about wavering because it's what God's word says. What? Waver? What is that? I'm not even doing that anymore. Thank God. Verse 8, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. I'm not sure about you, but I don't want to be unstable in any of my ways. I don't. But I know that it doesn't happen automatically, that just because I'm a part of this church, that I'm never going to have to worry about my faith wavering. We have to discipline ourselves. Our faith in God cannot waver. Whether we're asking for wisdom or trying to just make it through the day, when we waver, we attempt to separate God from the truth. Here's the problem. God is truth, and you can't separate the truth from God. It's okay to ask questions. I'm taking this from Tony Evans. Dr. Tony Evans says, it's okay to ask questions, ask God questions, but don't question God. When we begin to question God, then we begin to try to separate truth, what is real, from God. And that can't ever happen because God is truth. Go to my next slide. I'm not sure if how many of you have ever had this on your phone. Of course, that's a little comical. I'm not sure if anybody, if you have a phone like that looks like that, I need to see it. But when you're using your GPS and you're going somewhere and you have arrived, the little thing pops up and it says, you've arrived. We must arrive to the location where God is trusted. Regardless of what's going on around me, I'm trusting in God. That takes and requires us some action. I have some little post-it notes here, and let's just say this is my kitchen. And pick another room in the house. Anybody, shout it out. Living room. All right, this is my living room, okay? And we'll say this is my bedroom right here, okay? All right, it requires us to actually do something actively where every day when I go to, what did I say this was? Kitchen. All right. I go to the kitchen. I go to the fridge. I open the fridge and I do one of those things that, you know, normally a lot of people do, teenagers do. They open up the fridge. There's nothing to eat. I could actually have a scripture on my refrigerator. And what I am doing is as I read Ephesians 2:10, I can go ahead and read this verse that I am his masterpiece created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God has already ordained that I should walk in them. And I can read that. And every time I go to this refrigerator or go into my kitchen, I can actually read a word, read his truth, and I can begin to meditate on this. My first point, and of course I'll get to my points here. My first point is God keeps me standing. As long as I'm looking to his word, he keeps me standing on truth. If I'm looking to that instead of how I feel, if I'm looking to what he has said instead of on what side of, did I say this is my bedroom? Yeah. On what side of the bed I sleep on or I get up on. That's a term that normally people use as an excuse. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. No, you didn't. You woke up, hopefully you woke up in your bed. But, you know, the fact that you woke up on the wrong side of the bed, that's not an excuse. That you chose to trust in how you feel or you chose to trust in God's word. I forgot what verse this is. Oh, 1 John 1:9. That God is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. If I wake up in the morning and I'm reading this because I have it right on my side end table, or I have it on the wall, or I have it in my mirror, or I have it by my dresser, and I read that every single day, and what I could end up doing is begin to meditate on that word and begin to choose that I'm believing in this word. And something happens because I'm looking to his word and God holds me. And if he holds me, he keeps me standing because of what he said. But it's all because of the fact that I'm looking to his word, not how I feel or not my circumstances around me. So when it feels like I've done all that there is to do, God tells us to remain standing. When you've done all that that there is to do, continue to stand. Not standing on false hopes. Not standing on my feelings, but trusting and standing on God's word and his instructions. Psalm 56 verses 3 and 4 says this, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I'm not sure if some of you came across this, but this was on day 23. It was a Monday. And this really spoke to me and just really encouraged me that the fact that it says, whenever I'm afraid. Anybody ever been afraid? You've allowed fear, you know, some of those dark places. You've allowed that to clutter your mind. It says, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. It's encouraging to find that the psalmist says this. He states two things that have just happened. He's just stepped in a moment of fear, and he says, whenever I am afraid. I'm not sure about you, but if someone says, whenever I'm afraid, that tells me that they've just entered a situation or a place in their life where they became fearful. But then he says, I will trust in you. I think this is very encouraging that you might feel, well, man, I've been afraid before. Man, I can't ever get to this. Man, I can't ever get it right. I always keep getting fearful. I always keep allowing things. I'm just never, no. Just read what he continues to say. I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? We find out that he's being sincere and open. He says, whenever I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to trust in God, and in God I'm going to praise. I'm going to have a praise session. I'm going to go ahead and dance. I may not dance. I'm just going to sing. I'm just going to shout out God. I'm just going to shout out Jesus. as we were encouraged today. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? God spoke to Joshua many times, reminding him not to fear, but to be strong and courageous. Joshua chapter 1, verse 3 through 9. This is so funny. I have my phone here to be an illustration, but I had my phone ringer was turned off, so it didn't warn me. So I just failed in my illustration. So that's really, okay. Anyway, all right. So you can have a laugh on my sake. We were supposed to hear my phone go beep, 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 beep. Because you can even set your alarm, your calendar. Doesn't happen automatically. It happens because you become active and set your alarm to remind you, oh, yeah. Psalm 3, verse 3. This is a reminder of mine to go ahead and look to God's word and meditate on it. Think about it. Consider it. Ponder it. Psalm 3, 3. That God is my shield and my glory and the lifter of my head. When we meditate on it, it's not just the fact that I just read it. I don't have enough time. We don't have enough time tonight to actually go through it. I do have a slide. Go to my third slide. So you can put post-it notes around your house. Now, for the sake of this illustration, I have three different verses to just kind of prove a point, but you can have the same verses. And when you're meditating, whether it's post-it notes around your house, or whether it's a reminder on your phone, or whether it's you meet with somebody for coffee and you discuss about how God is your shield and he's your glory and the lifter of your head, and you can have a small conversation over a cup of coffee or actually have a Bible study with that. Or you can actually meet up with someone and encourage them, hey, listen, God forgives. He is faithful. He is just. If you just ask for forgiveness, he'll cleanse you. He'll forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So when we actually take the time, make the time to put those things down and actually set a calendar or a reminder on our phone, it's something active that we do to meditate. We think about it. We talk about it. We murmur about it. Murmur just talking about it to yourself. You're thinking about it. You're considering it. You're looking to God's word instead of the situation. What did I say? Joshua chapter 1? Yes. Verse 3. God is speaking to Joshua. He speaks to him many times, reminding him about fear and about being courageous. Let's find out what God tells Joshua. Verse 3, he says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days. There is nothing that's going to stand against you. Kind of reminds us of what we just read a little while ago, taking up the shield of faith. Taking that up, and that when we withstand the fight or the attack of the devil, I mean, if you use the armor of God, you will not lose. Armor that God gives you, you will not lose the fight if you wear it. It's when we put it down that we end up losing the fight. I can't think of God giving you something where you're going to fail. I can't believe that God is going to give you a tool and you're going to fail because God gave that to you. God's, oh, hey, here we go. Hey, thank you, Lord. I don't think that God is going to give you something that he's going to say, oh, my bad, that wasn't for you, that was for somebody else. Let's go back to, what was I, verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. He's already said that, but he's saying it again. Be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Shall not depart from your mouth. What is God saying? Speak it, talk about it, share it, let it come out of your mouth. But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according, according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? This is I'm just kind of dramatizing this part here, but I'm just picturing God saying, hey, did I not command you? Be strong and of good courage. I can hear Joshua say, yeah, you already said it twice, Lord. But be strong and of good courage, and do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wouldn't it be wonderful if each of you received a letter, email, text message, you know, a DM from God, and he said this to you, and he said, be not afraid, be strong and very courageous, for wherever you go, I will be with you. Man, I'd be ready to kick the devil in the mouth and win every battle and never put my armor down. That would be awesome to receive that. And you receive that every day. It's in your word. You receive it every day if you read it, if you stand on it. So more than once, God makes it clear to him, I am with you. I'm not leaving you. You will go and no one will stand against you. And then he says, didn't I tell you to be strong and of good courage? Don't be afraid. That word dismayed, where he says, nor be dismayed. That word dismayed means don't lose courage. Don't lose your, I'm not even sure this is a word, resoluteness. But he says to be resolute. To no longer, to not allow whatever fear to take your determination from taking this land. And even that word resolute. Resolute means not to waver. Being resolute, you're not going to waver. And didn't we find that in James? That if you're going to ask of God, don't expect God to answer and you are wavering in your faith. If you're going to ask God, expect him. So just as Janine was mentioning earlier, and this fits perfectly, that when you are calling out the name of Jesus over whatever darkness or whatever difficult situation, don't waver in that name, Jesus. Because it is powerful. And whatever you're dealing with is not stronger than Jesus. God tells Joshua, don't waver in what I'm saying, what you will do. Don't waver in where we are going. Where we are going. God keeps me from fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Knowing what God has given me, knowing what God desires for me or from me, I can walk in his power. I can walk in his love. I can walk with the mindset of Christ, with God's mindset. Therefore, there's no need for me to allow fear to ever overtake me. But how many of us have allowed that to happen? You and I have, those of you, I'm not saying all of you, but those of you, we have allowed it to happen because we took off our eyes and we wavered in something that God has spoken, that God had said that he will give us, that he will provide for us, or even the fact that he'll be with us. We forgot it. So this is such a great reason why we ought to. You like post-it notes? Fine. Use your phone? Fine. But actually meditate on God's word. And I close with Psalm 1, verse 1 through 3, because that word meditate speaks so wonderfully here. My last point is God keeps me focused to live this blessed life. Something happens when we meditate on God's word. It says in verse 1 of Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. I don't have time to hear the counsel of those who are not believers in Christ. Blessed is a man who doesn't stand in the path of sinners. I don't need to be walking in the same. Their path, as scripture, as Jesus preached on it on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, their path leads to destruction. I don't want to be on that path. Blessed is a man who doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. I don't want to sit in places that God has no intention for me to sit. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, in God's word, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Any of you want, whatever you put your hands to do, you want it to prosper? Raise your kids. You want your kids to prosper. Have a safe home. Have a beautiful home. You want it to prosper. Have an actual ministry. You want it to prosper. Have a business. You want it to prosper. Have different friendships and relationships. You want it to prosper where those people come to know Jesus Christ. When I meditate, it is an active process. When I'm looking to God's word and I'm choosing to believe in that and stand on that, and I'm choosing to think about it, it's an active process, choosing to consider that God's word over anything else that's going on in my life. If I discipline myself, if you discipline yourself to meditate on God's word, you'll be like that tree. That it says it's by the rivers of water, that it bears fruit in its season, and it will not wither. It will not decay. Our focus needs to remain on Him and the truth of His word. When I meditate, it's like I'm chewing on His word. And I'm talking about it. I'm thinking it. I'm allowing it to dictate the course and action of my life, of my daily decisions. And I'm looking to His word, His promise, and His instruction. And how does it reflect my life? How does it apply to my life? When I feel like I have no protection, I can just think of Psalm 3:3. He is my shield. He is my glory. And I'm not sure how many of you have ever walked a day in your life where you felt doom and gloom. Maybe it was a test. Maybe it was some, started hearing something knock from your car's engine and you just, but He's my glory and the lifter of my head. Making sure that His word, making sure that this passage of scripture goes deeper than just my thought, deeper than just hearing the pastor preach on it. Yet you hear it and then you don't look at it again. You don't go to it again. His word is what we need to look to. This is how we get God's word into our hearts and into our spirits. When we meditate on it, when we consider it, when we murmur about it, when we pray about it, when we choose to stand on it. Because when we do that, this actually gets us to the location where we are, where it says that, on that GPS, you've arrived. We've arrived to a place where we trust in Him more. It doesn't happen automatically. We get to a place of trusting in Him, relying on Him more because of the meditating and choosing to stand on His word. And it leads us to not walk in fear, but in faith. A faith that doesn't waver because God's word holds us firmly in His hands. Let's pray. Father, we come to You. We thank You, Lord, for Your word today. God, I pray that we would look to Your word and choose to stand on it. I pray, Father, that we will take these little small tips of meditating on Your word, of keeping it before our eyes, of reading it, maybe memorizing it, talking about it, talking to You about it throughout the day. How does it reflect me? How does it impact my life? And Father, we just come to You and we thank You how You want us to live a life of power, of Your love, and with a sound mind. And You choose not for us to walk in fear. We thank You, God. We thank You for Your promises. We thank You for Your word. Let it lead us and guide us so that we can be that tree. Bears much fruit. We thank You, God, that You make it possible that whatever we do will prosper. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.